Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to eLaborate Topics. I am your host and leadership mentor, Tywana Wilson. eLaborate Topics is a weekly podcast that gives you practical tips that you can use both inside and outside of the laboratory. We give those practical leadership tips, those technical strategies, and those personal growth nuggets that can benefit you, your team, and your career. It's a weekly podcast where myself and my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, along with some of our guests, bring you these tips week after week after week. You can catch new episodes each and every Tuesday on Direct Impact Broadcasting or your favorite podcast platform. Today's show is all about standardization as well as integrating a part of a larger system. Have you heard the saying, we've always done it this way, and this is the way we've always done things? And I'm sure if your laboratory is part of a larger system or in the beginning process or beginning stages of becoming a system, I'm sure this phrase will come up more times than you care to hear. This is always the way we've done things, and it worked out well, and it's nothing wrong with our process. And I want to give you some practical strategies today for those of you who are in laboratories that are becoming a part of a larger system. You've maybe been a standalone laboratory, and now you're integrated with other sites, or maybe your current system is expanding and opening up additional locations, and now the push for standardization with equipment, with processes, with training is now making its way to your laboratory. So today I'm going to give you five key things to think about on your journey to standardization. The first thing in that standardization and becoming one big happy family is that the standardization truly is part of the process. Being able to do things the same way, regardless of what location that testing is being performed at, having that same level of service and consistent level of service across all of your locations. One of the things your laboratory leaders will be looking at in that standardization process and integrating multiple locations is looking at your equipment and getting the locations on the same equipment, more so of the same vendor. And so there are vendors that play well in the space of having equipment that performs in high volume laboratories, as well as your mid volume, as well as your lower volume laboratories. And there are some key players in this market currently right now, especially if your lab is thinking about front end automation and being able to connect to other systems, being able to connect to hematology, being able to connect various chemistry analyzers, then there will be some standardization and a really tough look at what vendors are able to play in that space. Some vendors do it really, really well, and some vendors are trying to get in that space where they offer equipment that will suit the needs of various locations, high volume, mid volume, and low volume. So part of that process will be looking at the equipment that you have in your laboratory. If you are a newly created system, meaning every location has kind of been on their own, they have had their own instrumentation, that will be one of the first parts of the process when budget allows, is looking at that equipment. Also looking at reference ranges, having a system approach to reference ranges, critical values, as well as procedures of being able to use those across multiple locations. So understand that standardization, and when you think about it that way, of integration of multiple locations, multiple units into one collective body, think about is going to be part of the process that we're going to be doing things the same way, using the same procedures, the same processes. The second thing that I want to mention is it's not personal. Don't take the journey to change and standardization as a personal journey. So resist that urge, because it's going to come up. I guarantee you, it's going to come up where you're going to feel like it's personal. You're going to feel like your expertise might be discounted. You're going to feel like, well, if they want to do the things the way they want to do them, then I'll let them. And I encourage you to resist that urge. It's not personal. At the end of the day, it's trying to take those collective ideas from each of the various locations, each of the various entities, and put them together to make one strong, collaborative laboratory that really has stellar communication, stellar teamwork, and excellent customer service for our patients. So resist that urge. I know you have many years of experience. I know you might have worked at many laboratories before. You might have been through this before, but just resist the urge to feel like it's a personal attack on you. So if some of the procedures you might have written and now it's time to look at them from a collective approach, don't feel that it's a personal thing because those procedures are going to be changed. I can remember going through one integration, and it was about 8 sites as part of that integration, and it was all kind of freestanding. Everybody had their own way of doing things. They had their own hospitals. And at the beginning, it was really tough because everybody wanted their way to be the way. And it was tough with buy-in, and it was tough with, I think we should change this. And people did get emotional behind some of the decisions because they might have been at that laboratory for a long period of time. They were key in instituting some of those processes, and then to come in with this new team approach and everybody kind of looking at things and questioning, why are we doing this the way that we did it? It did, for some people, was a challenge. The journey was a challenge, and it could be perceived as I'm taking this personal. So I urge you, because more and more laboratories are becoming a part of a larger system, or they are experiencing ownership changes, and it can be difficult if you look at it that it's a personal thing that's happening. The second thing that I would encourage you to do, actually this is the third thing, is to keep an open mind. So if an idea is presented that you thought about 5 years ago, or your lab tried it 5 years ago and maybe it didn't work, it doesn't mean that it won't work today. Sometimes ideas come way before their time, and sometimes the timing just isn't right for that particular idea. So I've been in locations and they like, well, we did this 5 years ago or tried it 5 years ago and it didn't work. Well, maybe the right people weren't in place at the time. Maybe you didn't have the right infrastructure at the time. Maybe you didn't have the right resources available at the time. Maybe the way the idea was presented didn't have the right buy-in at the time. So there are several reasons why old ideas resurface and where they didn't work at one point 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where now is the perfect opportunity for those particular ideas to work. So keep an open mind, even though you might have heard something before, keep an open mind. You never know, it might work this time. Or just because you have never seen it before doesn't mean that it won't work. I can remember being in a laboratory and we were going to paperless. We had all of our procedures inside of our electronic documentation system. And we had always, you know, as lab people, we love our paper. We had paper copies at the bench, you know, a procedure book, manual in every department, near every instrument. And it was a huge shift of going from having all of those paper copies at the bench to relying on our electronic document management system. And we heard the gamut of, I don't know that we're going to be able to do this. The techs are not going to be engaged with this. This is not going to work. We need our procedures at the bench. It's going to be too difficult to pull up the procedures in the electronic system. You name it, we probably heard it. And, you know, it was one of those things because it was taking away something that was comfortable. You were comfortable going to the bench, reaching for the book, pulling out the procedure and looking at it. And now utilizing the technology to work for you was a bit of a, it was scary. Let's face it, it was scary. It wasn't comfortable. And so that idea of this is never going to work, it was easy for that idea to surface. It was easy for people to say, yeah, this, I don't think this is going to work because we need those procedures. I've had this going to electronic procedures within two organizations, and it never fails. It's always the same kind of initial reaction. It's almost like going through the grief cycle. You know, you get angry, you get confused. You go through that cycle before you get to an understanding. And so in both of those institutions, we pulled the books. You know, as of this date, we will be reliant on our electronic management system, and we pulled the procedures from the bench. And for one system, we kind of did it like a phased approach. Each location kind of did it at a different time. And every time we would check back with the group that remove their procedures, we said, well, how'd it go with the team? And it was like, well, they didn't say nothing, or they were fine, or I hadn't heard anything. And sometimes our closed mind ideas and not being open can sometimes stagnate the team, because we are in that, this is the way we've always done it, this is the way it has to be. And so we went through location by location and everybody pulled their procedures from the bench, and there was no stampede as originally thought in the discussion with some of the leaders. People acclimated to the online resource just as if they were using it for anything else, and there were no issues. And that was within both of these two different systems that went electronic. So keeping an open mind to different ideas, different way of doing things, different way of training, different way of recruiting our teams, different way of being advocates for our team members. Keeping that open mind is going to be critical if we want to be able to move our teams forward and really integrate and create some standardization, some harmony within our groups. The next thing that I would like to talk about in regards to this is, if you have a seat at the table, use your voice and share your ideas. So Typically, during some of these integrations of new systems, whether it's new instrumentation or now we have multiple labs up under one umbrella or new computer system or any kind of cross-functional team, you're going to have various voices at the table. At the decision-making table, regardless if you are a team leader, a section leader, a supervisor, a manager, a coordinator, a key operator, any of those things, you have a voice and were brought to the table for that reason for your expertise. So if you are at the table, and you don't have to be the director or the manager. If you are at the table, you're there for a reason. And that's to share your ideas because you have good ideas, right? And each system, especially as part of the integration, it is really dependent and success is dependent on each of the various members sharing their ideas. I've been at numerous tables and I can tell you it still kind of blows me away sometimes of the amount of people that sit at the table and they're there because they are the expert. They are the coordinator. They are the team leader. They are the go-to that the department couldn't operate without you. They are that person. And when they get to the room and ask their opinion, they say nothing. And then what happens is it forces leadership, your managers and supervisors, to try to come up with solutions in which they may not be the experts at. And so you don't have to have the most years of experience, the most degrees. You don't have to have any of that to be able to come to the table with your idea. And so I challenge all of our laboratorians out there who are team leaders, section leaders, trainers, key operators, you know, you're just great at the chemistry equipment that you have. If you are invited to the table or ask your expertise, please utilize your voice and share your ideas. It's not always the most experienced person in the room that has the best ideas. Sometimes it could be the newest person in the room that has those ideas that challenges us. I can remember being in a system and I had newer leaders and they were great about saying, hey, in the procedure it says this, but when we talked, this is what we said we were going to do. Or the package insert says this, should we reconsider this in our processes? Or these are some challenges of my team. It's almost like they were unafraid to speak up because they didn't know. So they were curious. And I would challenge our leaders to not lose your curiosity. Not lose your ability to ask those questions of, okay, this doesn't make sense, or I need to be able to relay this to my team, so I need to understand what's going on. So making sure that you utilize your voice. And for those of you that are looking to move up the career ladder or move into other areas of your career, you're going to find this really important. Because when you use your voice, you start to get noticed and you start to get invited to more tables because the leaders know you're going to give insight. You're going to give your opinion. And so that's just a tidbit off topic from this. But I know some of our early careerists are always looking for ways to advance in their career. And this is one of those ways to be able to do that. When you're invited to share your expertise and give those ideas, give those solutions. And then the last thing that I'll kind of talk about in regards to this topic of standardization and integration is being respectful and respecting the expertise of team members and what they bring. As we know, we have four generations, five in some cases, working in our laboratories today. our laboratories have such a diverse group of individuals working, and we are experiencing shortage like no other, burnout like no other. And it's going to be important that as we are getting together and we are integrating our teams and implementing new processes and implementing automation and new equipment, that we are respectful of each other in the process. We are all we have. We are the laboratory. We are our teams. And that is one of the things that we don't want to do, is start creating that turmoil within the lab. And because if we start creating that turmoil and we're not on one accord within the lab, how do you think that people outside of the laboratory will respond to us? They're going to respond the same way that we do to each other. So respecting the expertise of the team members that come to the table, that's willing to share their ideas. Again, everybody has different levels of experience. So some people have master's degrees and doctoral degrees and bachelor's degrees and associate degrees. And some are trained on the job. Some are trained in the military. Some people have worked in reference, government, pediatric institutions, doctor's offices, veterinarian labs, clinics, you name it. We have such a variety of team members working in our labs today. From, you know, 0 years of experience to 43, 50 years of experience. And something can be learned from everybody. Everybody brings something diverse to the table. So being respectful of that, just because they haven't been within our system or this location, doesn't mean that they don't offer value to the team. So being respectful to the expertise of our team members and being aware of the words that we use. There's power in the words that we use. And when you are on these integrated teams, making sure you're being more helpful than hurtful, making sure that you're taking that active listening approach, making sure that you are not just thinking about the project and asking questions, but also that you are contributing solutions. You know, so statements are okay, but they're not helpful if you're like, well, how are we going to do that? Like, think about ways that we can do some of the things that needs to be done. So if you know that you have, you know, 3 locations that are now part of a system, is there an opportunity for all of the disciplines of across the system to get together and start meeting? So if you have chemistry at location A, B, and C, could those key leaders get together and start talking about ways that we can standardize, or what are you doing at that location so that when it is time to make decisions, we are aware? Or what are you doing in hematology? Sometimes it's like we have to think about ways that we can get together collectively and not, well, I don't know what they're doing over there. We have to take that extra step and ask, what are they doing at hospital A, hospital B, hospital C? So being respectful of the expertise that the team members bring to the table, with or without a title. If you've listened to some of our episodes before, you know that we talk about leadership and influence. And influence is not always coming from the person with the title. So that's why it's very important to listen to some of your team members and the ideas and the knowledge that they bring to the table. How many of you out there, listening audience, have been part of a system or been part of a merger or an acquisition? I would be interested to know, what were some of your best practices or lessons learned that helped your system get integrated? What were some things that went well? what were some things that went not so well that you feel like could have made the process a little bit easier? I would definitely say, outside of the things that I talked about, is getting the key stakeholders together early in the process, from the top down to the front line, especially once you start thinking about your disciplines, your areas, your chemistry, your micro, your hematology, your transfusion medicine. Thinking about getting all those stakeholders together sooner in the process than later will save you tons of time. And there are great ideas that come from that. And understand that it will take time. You will have to have a level of patience. It's not going to we're one big happy family because we have the same owner overnight. You will have to look at your processes and begin that standardization process if you want to get on one accord with your integration. But understand, it's not personal. It's not a personal attack on you. Change is part of the process. And don't feel like the changes that are occurring is personal for you or the value you have brought to the table thus far. If you are at the table with a seat, make sure you use your voice. You're there for a reason. So make sure that you share your ideas. Make sure that you think about some of those critical questions. Keep an open mind for new ideas. Keep an open mind that things will be different. And different doesn't mean that the way that you did things were wrong. It just means that there may be better ways to do things with your current structure, or there may be a better way to do things at this time. Being respectful of the expertise of your fellow team members and what they bring to the table. So I hope you were able to find some practical tips from today's podcast. Remember that saying, this is the way we have always done things. That, especially as you are moving into integration and standardization, may not bode you well. So if you hear team members say that, you could always, say that, yeah, maybe that you did do things that way and it worked out great. And today we have to do things that's going to work out great for our tomorrow. So thinking about that, and don't get caught up in that this is the way we've done things, because it is not personal. So I hope you were able to get some tips that you could use in your laboratory with your team. Please share this podcast out with anybody you feel could benefit from hearing this, who might be at the cusp of getting ready to become a system, or at the beginning stages of being a system, or maybe you are already a system, but you're still not quite on the same page. These are some ways to think about moving the journey forward or moving your team forward. Please share this out with somebody that can utilize it. Catch us each and every Tuesday for a new episode. You can go to directimpactbroadcasting.com. We're always looking for innovators, scientists, friends of the laboratory community to be featured on this podcast. And if that's you, we would love to hear from you. We would learn to learn from you and grow from you. So please reach out at elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com, or you could go and fill out the guest interest form on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Until next time, have an amazing day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.